And I think probably pressure is maybe because some people are off doing intergenerational events elsewhere with their parents or their kids, whatever. Normally we do not have announcements after the service, but there are some important things I want to just mention to you before we begin. First of all, we need someone to do a potluck right after the service. And we only have one person signed up to do the dishwashing. We need one other volunteer. Pat Mellon needs a volunteer. Are there any?
No, I don't think there's another person that seems to be on the telephone as well.
Okay. Well, we'll think about that a while. There is a board meeting tomorrow night at 7:30 here. There's an orientation tonight for new people who, or old people, if you want to come, find out what orientation is about. It's about what's Prairie all about at the Calderons tonight at 6:30. And there is child care provided. Check the bulletin board for other announcements, including the Mystery Gifting, which is next Sunday at 9:30, which is early for kids, 9:30 to 11:30. The kids make gifts for people they want to. And that's it. So we have the Jones family here today to do the service, but before they begin, I'd like to light the candle for better intergenerational relations and also for better services here at Prairie for all generations. We heard last Sunday that the kids felt like they've been slighted in some ways. And I think the Johns are going to talk a little bit about that. I talked to one of the people in the program today, and she said, that might be what you talk about.
Well, we want to start out with the bond reunion. The first page is your soundbook from the company. It's first standing for the first star that's read at page 11.
We stand on our own authority, and we are the ones who take the responsibility. We stand on
inspired by last week's service in which several high school age young people contended that they didn't really know what they learned in Sunday school. I thought about it on the way home, and I thought, well, I think they don't really know what they learned because they aren't to where I am. So I'm going to look back, and I'm going to say, what did I learn? And I think I learned by osmosis from the time that I was small, because I was Unitarian ship when I was in first grade. So I went through the Sunday school long time ago, and I had a songbook that was printed in 1894, and some children's stories that were from about 1914 that Sunday school used when I was in Sunday school. The thing that happens in Sunday school is you have stories, and the stories don't have moral to say, now you see what happens if you're not a good kid, or something like that. Instead, they teach you about what a good person behaves like. And so I'm going to read you a story from that period of time when I was probably in third or fourth grade, maybe. If some of the little kids want to stand and rest, we put them up here for you. This one is called On the Trees and the Lions. You may know this story already. On the Trees was a brave soldier and one of the emperor's favorites. But once he defeated the emperor by killing a deer or a boar that the emperor had missed. So the man was sold to be a slave and sent from his home. After being a slave for some time, Anderson managed to escape and wandered off in the hills and deserts trying to find his way back to his own land. One very hot day, he crawled into a cave to get out of the sun. He was very hungry, but hoped he would find something to eat later in the day. While he was resting from his wanderings, he heard a strange sound. He knew that an animal was coming into the cave, but he couldn't tell who it was. The steps didn't sound like the steps of any animal that he knew. But he was frightened, and he held his breath so to make no sound by which the animal could find him. As he waited there holding his breath, the animal came near. It was a lion! But he did not look scared. He did not walk as if he were the king of the beast. In fact, he was limping on three legs, holding one of his front paws in the air. He looked very unhappy indeed for a lion. Anderson felt so sorry for the lion that he forgot to be afraid. The lion walked up to him and stopped right there in front of him. He held up his paw and made a sharp meow, like a sad, hungry kitten, only louder. Then Anderson saw that the poor lion had a thorn in his paw. And that was why the lion was so mild and so unhappy. He could not put his foot down as firmly as the lion should. Anderson bent over and gently pulled the thorn out of the lion's foot. It must have hurt, for the lion squeaked a little, but it probably did not hurt as much as walking on the thorn did. The lion purred and shook his head gently at Anderson and turned around and walked out of the cave. Anderson wandered about the graves and weeds, living as best as he could on roots and berries and nuts. At last he came to a camp made up of many tents. He was very glad because he thought now he could get some food and be safe from wild animals. But when he came to the camp, he saw that it was filled with the emperor's soldiers, and the captain recognized Anderson. They made a prisoner of him, and after a while brought him back to Rome. The emperor disliked Anderson even more now because he had run away from his master. So the emperor decided on a very cruel punishment. He ordered Anderson put into the arena where a hungry lion should destroy him. There Anderson was, and the gate to the lion's cage was open. The lion came out growling and snapping, and he walked around as if he was looking for something to eat. Pretty soon, things were innocent as lying on the ground, expecting to be devoured the very next minute. But when the lion stood over him again, instead of screaming at him, he began to lift him gently with his tongue. Everybody was amazed, and the king brought word to the emperor that Anderson must be a strange magician, for the lion would not eat him, as lions had always eaten other prisoners. The emperor ordered Anderson brought before him and asked him to explain what his power was that protected him from the lion. Then Anderson told the story of the lion in the desert from whose throat he had removed the thorn. The emperor forgave him and took him back into his favor.
I don't know how I ended up in this morning. Keep talking at a late moment. I grew up in the first church, and I always wondered what it was that I was supposed to be learning in Sunday school, because generally what you learn at the first church in Sunday school was whatever the Sunday school teacher happened to be into. Which one year was anthropology, and another year was theology, and another year, that was Dr. God, he was a professor at the university, and it was wonderfully interesting, and I liked it a lot. And in fact, when I went to university, I took two of his courses, because I feel like I remember it from fifth grade. And one year we learned a lot about astronomy, and two years we learned a lot of stories from the Bible, which always seemed a little odd to me, why they were teaching a story from the Bible if we were supposed to be new parents. And then when we were in eighth grade, we went to all these other churches and found out all the things that we weren't supposed to believe. But at least it appeared that we weren't supposed to believe them. Anyway, it wasn't until much later in my life that I suddenly figured out exactly what it was that they were doing, and they're certainly not terribly well organized, but with their hands in the right places, what I was supposed to be figuring out was what I believed. I wasn't supposed to be learning something that somebody else believed. I was supposed to be learning something else for myself. And in fact, I did, and I still am figuring it out. And it still is very definitely my belief and my own spirituality that I own. I just wanted to tell you a couple of the things that really meant that meant a lot to me when I was growing up in Sunday school. And one of them was the Christmas church in the first church. And I don't know how many of you have ever been to the church. I don't even know if they still do it that way anymore. But they did this wonderful service, and Jerry Vitale had a wonderful resonant voice. Every year would do this little speech about, when I was really young, I thought only the gifts that I would receive. As I grew older, I thought few of the gifts that I would give. And it went on a little later. But that one of the few ones always stopped me dead in my tracks. I mean, as a kid, I thought that I was nuts. It's a lot more fun to get there than living, right? And I can't remember the year that I suddenly thought, hey, that the course of my own spirituality.
Now, the key thing about this is my father, the guy over here in the room, has been living out the Sunday school for 87 years now. He started out with me and my two sisters and my brother, and we all always all the way through. And then he went out with my two nieces, Jessica and Mona. Oh, and my oldest two children were first, Jason and Jeffrey. My parents took them every Sunday morning, which was a real nice time for. It was a time for Jason and Jeffrey to get to know my parents, because when I got Jason and Jeffrey, they were 67, so it was a, you know, it was their time to be together. And then they took Jessica and Mona, and now they can make that alone. Now this is a lot of years of loving kids. And while we were coming up with the service, at one point I turned to my father and I said, why?
When she said really still, I began to feel like I bent over, you know. But I do want to talk a time on the back to her, she was like a, she was his professor, I always call her professor, but in front of me, she must be calling me back. And anyway, a question I think I wanted to study that was very interesting was, and assuming she had her grandfather, David Potter, who was not a practicing speaker on it, was not a person who was going in and out. I'm just telling that story. I just found that out the other day.
Okay, I'll tell it quickly.
He
was a very stern man, and we lived all together in my grandparents and my parents and for a long time, my aunt and uncle and my four cousins, we all lived in the same house. We were in the family now with the kids, we all loved it. And we didn't want to live in the same house. Anyway, so one day, we all went to Sunday school, my grandma went to, and my grandfather, who was old by the time, so he didn't go anywhere, so he was home. And I was doing this, you know how sometimes you can do it to your kids. You know how sometimes you don't want to do something just because the parents want you to do it? And you just decide to just do the deal and just sit out and do it? Well, I decided I was not going to Sunday school. And then followed me and we fought back and forth. And finally, Mother said, fine, stay home all alone then. Well, I didn't stay home all alone. I had to stop the children.
Thank you.
I get it now. Why?
You hear stories that you never heard. But I'm sure that happened because this is the point of everything that happened. Why did I pick the kids? Well, for variety of reasons. It wasn't me, by the way, it was more than myself. It was just two brothers, here, and here, up every Sunday, and go to the Beverly Hotel, which is 103 feet, we lived 105 south. It's 103
south.
In Chicago. And it was Beverly Hotel, from the town. And we were just enough to live on the one hour, we had no time. And taking off, she took, and then back. And it wasn't there. The reason is a combination of things. At that time, the fact that we were living in was instigating the world we live now, plus people, into the process. And definitely we're not living it, but we just appreciate that. That's it all up. And I'm suddenly very happy that God is the way the flash family has been living with us. It's all very strong. The students of TV and cities. We're all on our best coming behavior. And then we lost our hurt. Because the bombs in the neighborhood, which is a Roman Catholic and Greek Orthodox neighborhood, this is just across from the Anarcho-Homosexual Theater, by the way. And the bombs went off in there for about 5 years. A little bit more, so. I know, but I'm just getting the background. Well, anyways, the background of it was that the church system there was not something that we wanted to go to or our children to go to. Especially when we found people who, in the background, they came out of St. Peter's and Roman Catholic, were had children thrown at them when they first went. And the priest came up. He was a very weak man, and he was afraid eventually. And all this background. So I had not known the priest for years. I wasn't particularly concerned whether these kids used to say somebody up there, or down there, or whatever. But anyway, when I heard some of the kids say that, I could use it because anybody says, and it's not bad. And so, well, it was just as good as I could, some concept of other religion and what religion are. And so, where are we going to be? I was doing such a thing, and not an ordinary. And the guy was going to do a thing, so that's what he said. That's what I'm going to make.
I went to bed and I cried.
and study and food. And to cover the infection, the daily light in the head. It was cute, I said, to hear it in the corner of my ear, and sometimes it kept on my bed and kept it warm. Those are all good things, my mother, but I just can't know. I suddenly tried to think of the number of women, but they needed to know to say the time for body. And it could have been longer than the top time, and it was sitting there about 50 minutes. Only my father knew the rest. The area that I went into the kitchen was so hot. There was standards and water cookies and left the box. I was sure that they got stuck. I did most of the story. I was funny. I was from back to the end of the attack with a cat named Angel. She was insane and in his own skin. I was from back to the end of the day. The children's grandmother is so wet, the ground, I told her, the ground. You don't know anything. The final thing was to me, I was like, it's a big mouth and a leaf. So I told her again, that's a ground. Why do you need to know about it? Asked Simon, you don't know anything. Maybe that was the heaven I found in there. That's the way it was trying to come out of me. The baby was on that level, and he was smiling at it. What could I tell you? I said, I'm going to tell you the baby. Father knows him at that. He didn't know too much about heaven to come out. He didn't know absolutely sure what it said. But if it is what it said, I don't know if it absolutely is sure about it. Father would have room to find me if he were to see. He finished the other picture right back to him. My father's only in my field when he died. I said that I would help, but I never would. I told him I didn't like it, but that time he was dead. He said, that's good, I like it. It's sad, he said. He told me that it was not true for God, no. My father's had a little pocket of brown sheep. He took the letter of time and time. The brown sheep was on the street and a place to look, he said. And soon there were no stairs to the east and flowers. He didn't pack it open and looked down to the bag. I told him, I don't see you, but my little two flowers. Some of you need a light, said my father. And they don't have anything for me. The vine trees, the flowers? Oh, yes, said my father. They say, you know, you've had a new one, and you can see the garden. And you don't care? Well, he helped make the flowers and leaves? He did, said my father. So that's where the flowers and the leaves grow back to.
Thank you. I know that
more than such a thing as this. And the mother comes to me, but it's just the only way I'm going to go. And she told me all the way that I was in therapy to remove it from her. So, we tend to go to the same place every time. And I don't know if you're the same place where every time you're there, it's been a very nice thing. The world is just broke up. All of that. Anything that one boy and the same one boy do not like, certainly the world is just a mess of dirt up on the ground. It doesn't do anything. You know, it's just a mess. And if it's just going, it's just a mess. And I don't know what.
I'm going to say that 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 I'm going to say that
and I'm assuming that they were able to do that question. And I think about a week ago, the question was from how they can solve that question. And I thought it was providing me a new gift of life. And I do a practical lesson of the fact that he's done by a way that he asked me to come. And especially that night, and I thought it was very good life from the new life from us, and I was saying, and there was a girl from the village who was very talented, and she was married. And they had a particularly hard time because they had to sit in the same chair, all in front of the church, and a certain pile of clothes. With a golden job, they drove us in there to keep the community in. But the happy ending was the judge of my mother had been married for 30 years.
You don't know what to sing. Very
very numerous jobs to me. So I was really happy when I was about 24. I had a friend who I worked with, and my husband had been raising military kids, and this is the first time I heard of military. And I thought, wow, this sounds wonderful. So both people could be sitting around the church. And so it took me a long time to go here, but I'm not sure what happened.
Well, I'm here coming from a small Methodist church in Warrensburg, Texas, and I had one really funny memory when I was on the campus. When I got to, when I grew up to be high school, there was a judge that was in the neighborhood who decided that he needed to know who the judge was. The handle of children's faces, we decided that we needed to know what normal is. So we decided to do the same procedure for our high school age group 1 year. And he said it was really a good experience for us too, because he took it very seriously. And he told us how to begin, what it was, what his motive in doing it was. And it was one of the first times that I can remember thinking, well, there's something more to this than just learning. You know, even when you're a dog, you still have things to learn. And this guy was, you know, was being very honest and open with us, and enabled us to be honest and open with him. So it was a good year.
I believe you were attempting to see the water, but there were two that I ever heard of.
Well, I can tell you about mine. I mean, those things were living in Washington. We didn't have any organized community groups up there. I mean, we moved into town, and there wasn't a church there that me and my parents had belonged to, and so we went there at what was known as the EU. We went to our town there, and it's now part of the Methodist. And I went there. All the way through high school, I was in school and YF. But I had my struggles with it. I mean, I wasn't always accepting it, but my friends and sisters and my group of us that kept going. And the most we did was what we chose to. And I think most of my desperation instead of, you know, learning things to be like us. So I had a real kind of basic religious background, but I had the issues with behavior codes. That there were certain behaviors that weren't considered acceptable, and I'm kind of a lot into those kind of distinctions. And I said that they didn't believe that it was appropriate for people to be the opposite sex to dance together. And I always thought that was sort of silly. But I remember one time I wanted to join the church, and during I had to be baptized by an ancient knowledge, and my mother wouldn't let me, so I had to be an adult when I made this decision. So by the time I was an adult, I met Rick, and Rick was Mr. Capay, and then I started going, yeah, we didn't have a problem about dancing. And
I only time I got to go to church. He moved quite a lot, and wherever I went, wherever he went, he stayed a few days to the post church, which I got to do a quick church and getting four or five little kids off the church on a Sunday, which was quite a job. You know, the wind itself, there always seemed to be a problem. It was too small, it would take a long time. But anyway, one of my churches was, I was going out to the East Coast, and there was a time to see the announcement in her computer, which gave me quite some difficulty. I was assigned to support and integrate the candidacy of Al Smith, and my church was at that point not even moved from down by the river. And I was going to Sunday school, and when I had a practice church the next Sunday, I was totally led out by my Sunday school teacher, by the minister, by everybody in the church, because I was going to be in the country to support the Catholic candidacy for the presidency. And this was going to be so terrible, and I'm going to go back to that church. I went home and told my mother I was practicing in tears, and she said, well, we'll find another place to go. So I ended up in the Evangelical Lutheran Church, which is the background of Montana, Nova Square. And then confirmation happened. I was told by a minister coming this Saturday evening, was to just got all the steps and don't believe me, I had a lot of them. By that time, my father had been religious all his life, and he seemed to be men and got trying to go to one church after another. I was totally confused. So I started there and I was delighted. I was a dentist, I was a dentist, I was a dentist. And I started asking questions, and about asking questions. He said, well, let's put the Bible says. And I said, well, yes, but it's just the Bible says. Well, let's put the Bible says. He ended up being so angry at me. So he would finally come up and say, well, let's just how it is. And so I got my answer. And so I was concerned about it. I mean, all the answers, he said, all the answers to all the questions, and went through the fine colors, my whole family was in the background. And I had to make the book over, walk into that church again. And I looked around for something else and found that book, a bound book that was being carried. Because during the Second World War, they were the only place in town where the black servicemen could come and get the North U.S. Polar Poster to the top of them and say they were in the U.S. They had a separate U.S.O. that was interracial people here in the city. The regular U.S.O. were not the United States black people.
First of all, I'm surprised if I didn't know that the Sunday school and the Institute of Sociology to be studying. My upbringing was in the Catholic Church, and I had very fine memories of Sunday school. And one of the things I'd like to contrast that with the openness of studying other religions in the Nigerian Church. I went to Catholic grade school and high school, and I remember after graduating from high school, talking with someone, and we were talking about religion, and said we were Protestant, and I was trying to figure out where exactly that was, and I said, is that similar to the Methodist? And I just had no concept of other religions at all. And so I think learning about all these various things in Sunday school is there. I think it looks like a good aspect of the Sunday
school. Good. When I went to Sunday school, I went to Sunday school a whole bunch of different places. One of them was out here in Madison, the Episcopal Church down in Nine Square. And in those days, Sunday school was in part so effective for being grown up. Because in Sunday school, we had our little chapel with pews and altars. And everything but a sacrament, really. And of course, we had school left too, learning stories from the Bible. When I got to be old enough to be confirmed, we had to learn the truth. Now, I guess even in those days, I was basically a Unitarian without knowing it, because the creed begins, I believe in one God. And then he goes on to talk about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and the Catholic, Mary, and all the saints. Wow. Yeah. So, even then, I was thinking, something doesn't quite fit. And I can remember thinking later on, when I was in the youth college here, that we Christians say that God is God, and all these other people who call God something else, they don't have the true truth, you know, they're not in on it. And I remember thinking, hey, why is God here? If we call him or her Joe or Charlie or Yahweh or whatever. So it was like coming home for me to find the Unitarian Universal Church. And I don't know, I don't know any Jews that I haven't heard about. But for me, the Unitarian Church was a very confusing time in some intellectually. And yet, practice for being grown up, too. I don't know how many people might have had a similar experience to that, but you know, that's what it
was like for me. I think you've only done it for a day. I might have, in so far as the song that you've done, the first one was one of the other two, the second one is the better two, and the last one is the better two. Well, we were in the city, so I had no
chance.
If you want it printed, give it to me today.